Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the raspberries of conversation, the jam sugar of humour, mixing them all up together in a pan, mashing them down with a fork, turning on the heat of the internet and creating the jam of the Off-Menu podcast.
Okay,
jam.
Not your best work, because jam sugar kind of let us know where it was going.
Yeah, but you can't use normal sugar for it. I think you have to have a specific jam sugar. Certainly when I did Bake Off, that was the case.
To be fair, I didn't know that, and quite a nice little detail that I didn't know. I'm going away learning something now that there's such a thing as jam sugar.
Well, I'd imagine I'll get a message saying you can use normal sugars, but we had to use a special source of sugar.
But jam sugar's now going to be one of my catchphrases too.
Yeah.
It's going to be, like, I just jump into any situation that's, like, really, really jumping, like a party or something. Yeah. I'll just jump in from nowhere and go, jam sugar!
Yeah. And I'll go, Apple steak.
Apple steak and jam sugar here, a.k.a. Ed Gamble and James Acaster. This is the Off-Menu podcast. We own a dream restaurant. We're inviting a guest in and we ask them their favourite ever start and main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Paul Chowdhury.
A maniac. Paul Chowdhury, as we all know, a fantastic comedian. He's been on Taskmaster, one of probably the all-time great Taskmaster contestants, in my opinion. One of my favourites ever.
Yes, one of mine too.
You know, tours the country, sells out venues with his stand-up.
Did Wembley.
And just an unpredictable and unique fella.
I don't know what's going to happen today. Nope. He also, of course, does a podcast of his own called The Podcast.
Yeah, I went on that.
I went on that too.
Had a very frank conversation with him and enjoyed it quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's why I'm quite looking forward to having him on the pod. And that's why, you know, quite happy calling him a maniac before it starts, because I know it's impossible to really rattle this guy.
We say he's unpredictable. Here's something that I think will happen. I'm willing to put £50 on it now. Yep. He will, within the first 20 minutes, do an impression of me, which is like this. Right, you'll say, oh, you're all like, hey, guys. And he calls me a hey, guys comedian because hey, guys to the audience. Yeah. And I ask the audience if they're all right.
Yeah. That's fair enough. He's got you there. Also, just to let people know, we are recording this before Paul comes in. I know a lot of people think we do it all afterwards.
No.
Right? We have not interviewed Paul yet. That is a genuine prediction from Ed.
Yes.
So we will see what happens there. I also think at one point he will say something that is deliberately referencing something that we have no idea what it is, and he knows that, and then he'll just stare us down until we have to ask him further questions.
Yes, exactly. Also, we can't predict what he's going to say, which makes the secret ingredient even more exciting.
Very difficult. Secret ingredient, obviously, is usually an ingredient that we don't like, so we'll kick people out the dream restaurant and don't get any dinner if they pick it. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Flaxseed. What is it?
I don't like it. It's powdery, it's powdery, weird. I don't really think it adds much in terms of flavour.
Where does it go? What do you put it on? Yogurt?
Well, I think people dump it in their yogurts.
Yeah.
But like, I don't really see the point. I mean, I guess it's probably got some superfood quality I don't know about, but like...
Paul's very healthy as well. Paul's like ripped.
Is ripped. He's a healthy man.
He's ripper-armoured.
He's ripper-armoured. Banana pajamaed.
He's apple staked.
He's like the human embodiment of apple steak.
Yeah,
guy.
He really is.
Yeah, so maybe he does eat a bit of flaxseed and that gives him that apple steak body.
Yeah, so we'll find out. But if he mentions his flaxseed that he has in the morning to give him his apple steaks, we're going to kick him out.
We're going to kick him out. And yeah. I don't think he'll care.
No, I don't think he'll care. I'd imagine he has no idea what this podcast is.
No.
I'd imagine he's not prepared for it in any way.
No. Here's another prediction. Every time we ask him his dream, when he'll respond like he's in a genuine restaurant.
Yeah.
And he'll go, what can I get? Because he won't have thought about any of it in advance. Yeah. Even if he has thought about it in advance, he'll probably think, no, that's silly to do that. And then he'll get rid of that and just come in and wing it.
And at some point, he's going to do an impression of what he considers a white man to sound like and use the name Dave.
Yep, he'll do that. And also, at one point, he'll call me Jamie for a joke, because it amuses him to call me Jamie.
That amuses me as well. Yep, I hope he does funny. That.
It is funny to do that. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen that I'm very excited about.
Have you spoken to him about the time he introduced you on stage?
Yes, I spoke to him. When I was on his podcast, I talked to him about the fact that once when I was starting out as a stand-up, he introduced me on stage at a charity gig at the Comedy Store in the following way. Please welcome to the stage, my main man, James Alabaster. And then I walked on stage to that.
One of my favourite stories.
Yeah, so he doesn't remember it. So that's going to be fun.
We'll find out. This is the off-menu menu of it's Paul Chowdhury. Apple Steak. Welcome, Paul, to the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome, Paul Chowdhury, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
It's been a long time coming, this, and I've got to say, what an honour it is for you to have me on this.
It is, Paul.
Podcast today. What an honour.
We're over the moon to have you on the podcast, Paul. Of course we are. When you say it's been a long time coming, how long have you been waiting to come into the Dream Restaurant?
Well, this thing's been going for, what, 20 years? This podcast?
Around 20 years. 2018 we started, so around 20 years,
Yeah, so a lot of people
are
saying...
By the time your episode goes out.
Yeah.
You're just stacking them up in the library waiting for the release. That's what I do with my podcasts.
Yeah.
We're like Prince. We record a lot and we put them all in a vault.
Tupac.
Yeah, yeah. Also Tupac.
Also
Tupac.
26, or 25, he had 55 albums in the vault.
Whoa.
Wow.
Something like that.
It's almost like he knew.
Suge Knight knew.
Suge Knight.
The manager knew.
Yeah.
I always knew we'd get into deep rap conspiracy theory.
Straight into talk. This is the fastest in any podcast episode we've done that we've talked about Suge Knight. This is very early on for the Suge Knight chat.
I knew this was a very gangster podcast with you two guys.
It really is, yeah.
Thank you.
You, of course, do your own podcast, Paul, the podcast.
Podcast, yeah.
Which we've both been on.
Yeah. Oh, what an honour it was.
Thank you.
To have you on the podcast.
It was an honour.
You were both very exquisite guests.
Thank you very much.
And... your contribution to the podcast has never been forgotten.
Thank you. Cheers, Paul. I'm glad to hear that. Did all your listeners go crazy for our episodes?
James has been on it.
Yeah.
And who's this guy?
Ed Gamble's been on it.
I've been on it as well. I enjoyed doing it very much.
People of your level of success.
Yeah.
And this was before you did the advert.
Before I did the advert. You got me before I went mainstream.
I got you before you were a sellout.
Yeah.
I haven't told you this.
Go on.
I was walking down the street and someone shouted "Kazoo, yeah, you can" at me.
At you?
Yeah.
What did you say?
I just ignored it. I kind of just laughed.
Yeah.
I looked around and I laughed because there's someone looking at me really pleased with themselves. But I just laughed and gave them the thumbs up and kept on walking. But I think they thought that that's me on the adverts.
You should have Suge Knighted him.
I should have Suge Knighted him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not exactly a role model for me, Suge Knight. But yeah.
His name's Suge.
Short
for sugar.
I love sugar. Yeah. If it's short for sugar, fair enough. Have you got favourite types of sugar, Paul?
More stevia.
A food podcast. Yeah.
Are you a sugar boy?
No, I've given up sugar years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you?
Years ago.
Because we should say you're in pretty good nick, Paul. You're a healthy boy. This is obviously a food podcast, so we're interested to hear what you're going to say about food, because you're pretty ripper armored, right?
Now, I remember we having this conversation on my podcast about you were previously
a bigger boy, a little fat boy.
Well, I don't want to use the term fat bastard.
I'd have liked it.
I don't want to use the term.
If you just let Paul find
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. But I am a self-confessed previous fat bastard.
Yeah. And then you came up with it. We talked about this. You came up with this whole premise that you used to have diabetes to sell.
Yeah. No, good premise.
I'm still diabetic. I am diabetic, Paul.
No, but you use that so you can do the fat bastard jokes.
Yeah. I don't think I said that.
Huh?
He uses it. So, you know,
I haven't listened to the episode. I don't know what's true.
No, but you know, people so they come up with conditions and then they can joke about those people.
What are other examples of comedians who have done that?
Eddie Murphy doing jokes about African Americans.
So
he can only get away with it.
But
he made up he was African American.
Okay, yeah.
Whereas the same thing was Ed Gamble. He gets away with doing jokes about ethnic minorities because he pretends to be ethnic minority.
Hang on, how did we get there?
Diabetes is an ethnic minority.
Oh, right, okay.
This is what Paul is saying. Yeah? Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to misquote you here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Ed makes out that he's from the diabetic community, so we can make jokes about diabetes.
Yeah, yeah. And you shouldn't do that kind of stuff, man.
No, I'm sorry. I put my hands up and I say I'm sorry.
Shouldn't do that sort of stuff. I'm happy for that message to go out. When you were on Taskmaster, you had to sweat at one point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you exercised a lot. And you really showed them how healthy and fit you were on that.
Which I did on the way here today as well.
You did some exercise on the way here? What'd you do?
Around from the tube station.
Did you? Why were you late then?
Well, because I was running.
I thought you drove here.
Should have been on time.
I was going to drive.
Come on.
And then I decided to take the tube. I thought it would be quicker on the tube, and the tube is packed.
Yeah.
Packed in that shithole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The horrific scenes on the tube for when I got here. Yeah. And then my manager's assistant told me it was like 0.2 miles away.
So then
a six-minute walk, and it's actually half a mile from the tube station, which is like a 40-minute run.
Well, it's not 40-minute run.
Eight-minute walk?
I reckon you ran in the wrong direction, and then you had to run around again, and people just watching you run around London, like a madman.
And then I was outside and had to contact Ben, the producer, because I was standing on the street corner for half an hour.
Yeah,
I think he can verify that.
Yeah, he can verify that. But yeah, everything else, I mean, pretty much, Paul, when it comes to your life, I only believe the stuff that I was there for and I witnessed. Everything else, there's no way I'm believing it.
But I'm looking forward to drilling down into your food choices and your food likes and dislikes, Paul, because the only time really I've seen you eat, we were in Montreal together once and we were at a fancy Montreal industry party. It was a comedy industry party and there were some canapes being passed around. And everyone was getting on with the canapés. And then you went, no, I'm not having any of this. And you said something, you leant over to one of the wait staff and they went, looked confused and then walked off. About 5 minutes later, they brought you over a full plate of avocado on toast.
Really?
It was at a party. Everyone else was having canapés and you somehow ordered a full plate of avocado on toast.
This is another thing that always happens.
Pretend that he doesn't remember.
He always pretends he doesn't remember the stories about himself. Everyone always brings up stories about you to you. And you always go, oh, I've got no memory. No, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah. I was at Montreal.
Yeah.
The Comedy Festival.
The Comedy Festival. It was we did the Britcom lineup together. It was me, you, Nish, Sarah Pascoe. You remember this?
Are they comics as well?
Yeah, they're all comics, Paul, yeah.
I headlined it, didn't I?
No, Nish did.
No, Nish was comparing it.
No, Nish headlined it.
Nish headlined it.
I'm seeing what I can get.
How could Nish headline if I'm on the bill? How could... You can't even say that as a joke to listeners.
Yeah, see, I was trying to see what you would remember and what you didn't remember. You did headline it, Paul, annoyingly.
Yeah, you did headline it. We always start with still a sparkling water, Paul. Do you have a preference?
Well, you know my answer to this question, don't you?
No, that's why we're asking.
What I would say to the waiter when they offered me still a sparkling.
We do actually know because Greg Davis told us.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember this?
I don't quite remember this, no.
Okay. Well, I didn't remember this until I was reminded by listeners of this podcast as to my answer. And my answer to that is, what would you recommend?
That's good.
Because it depends on the on the waiter, isn't it? You really need to start with that kind of relationship. Yeah. Set your persona up from the beginning.
Yeah.
So they know what they're dealing with.
Well, like you've done from the beginning of your career, you've set your persona and you refuse to budge from it.
But that's me, though, isn't it? Yeah. See, I'm a natural. I don't put on the act like you.
Well, that's the debate. That's the constant debate.
That's the debate that rages through the comedy circuit and has done for about 15 to 20
you
years.
You and Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Is how much of this is the real him? I don't know.
So you say, what do you recommend so you can get to know the waiter better?
Yeah, and also, yeah, it sets up the waiter, then you break him down a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Break him down, what do you mean?
You know, emotionally, mentally.
Yep.
And then they're more relaxed in the scenario.
You loosen them up.
Yeah, so you're breaking them down to be more relaxed.
You're friendly with them, you know?
Right, okay.
What do you say? You're still, mate.
No,
I didn't want to be asked. You know, whereas I'm nice to them.
Yeah.
I'm diabetic. Yeah. Don't even ask that question. You know, I don't.
Because of water.
Because of the water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you recommend?
Because that's a question, isn't it, at a restaurant? What do you recommend?
Yeah, but not normally with the water.
I always open with my best material.
Yeah.
So that's the best line at a restaurant. Is what would you recommend?
You know, but it doesn't work for that bit of the. You don't open with everything you might say in a restaurant when it comes. Always to, you don't open, go, I'll have it cooked medium rare, please. It has to relate to the specific.
Always
thing.
Open with your closer when you're doing new stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's the logic, isn't it? You open with your old stuff.
So you've
got to get better.
Yeah.
So that what would you recommend normally came at the main course.
Yeah.
I start with it at the water, so it can only go up.
Why not just go in and pay the bill?
You got to build on it and get better. That makes sense.
Yeah, pay the bill as soon as you go in.
Yeah, tip them.
Well, some restaurants do that. Some do say, you've got to pay before we bring the food out.
Yeah.
I went to one shithole yesterday and they said that. You've got to pay for it. And also maybe because it's a bad area and people then eat and then do a runner.
Do a dine and dash.
What was this restaurant you went to yesterday?
It was some shisha lounge.
Right.
Did you partake in the shisha?
I didn't do shisha.
No?
No.
Too much sugar in it?
Too much sugar in it. And it's basically smoking, isn't it?
Is it?
Without a filter.
Yeah.
But you guys smoke a lot of weed and shit, but I gave all that stuff
up. Of course. What did you have at the shisha lounge then, if you weren't doing any shisha?
I had corn.
What? You what?
Corn.
Corn?
Just corn.
Yeah. You smoked it?
No, I ate it.
It's just sweet, like sweet corn?
Yeah, sweet corn.
Like a bowl of sweet corn?
Yeah.
So you went to a shisha lounge and just ordered a bowl of sweet corn? And they made you pay for it first?
It was like £8 for that.
Straight in. Hello. We assume you'll be wanting the shisha pipe. No. I was just like a bowl of corn. You had to pay for that first. This place is shit out.
Did you have anything else?
I got mogo, which is like a vegetable.
Yeah.
And, chaat.
Oh, yeah, nice. Lovely.
Aloo papri chaat.
Yeah.
Are you veggie or vegan at this point?
Because I don't tend to eat meat in shitholes.
Right. That's a good rule, I think.
Because you don't know where that meat has been and it's been pumped with steroids.
Yeah.
It's like you just come out of the gym and then you're eating this chicken. And I tend not to, unless I know what the chicken's been through in its life and the trauma it's been through and the, you know, what I want to know what life it led before it got to this point.
What details do you need about the chicken?
Just its personal life and relationships and how many children it had and where it lived.
In terms of how many children it had, is it better to have for the chicken to have had less children or more children?
Well, it depends, you know, because it can variate the taste of that chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to ask, you know, about its qualifications.
Yeah. What if one of the details they told you about the chicken's personal life is that it was a massive fan of your comedy?
I wouldn't eat it. I would let it live.
But no, that's not how restaurants work, is it? What restaurant are you going in where they go, you order the chicken and they're like, all right, we'll go and kill it then?
It's not like a lobster.
No, they bring the chickens out. Oh, I want to go to a place where, so they're all running around.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I talk to one of the chickens.
The information's coming from the chicken.
Who else is going to tell me this information?
Yeah, sure.
The waiter, we've just established all this.
We thought, I guess, to be fair, Ed and I assumed you'd be talking to the waiter, but you're saying you're talking to the chickens yourself.
This is the dream restaurant, I suppose.
And they're telling you what their lives are like. So if any of them go, I'm a big fan, Paul, you're like, let this one live.
They're not Irish. They're just normal chickens.
Normal.
Just normal talking chickens.
Yeah, fair enough. So I recommend the Stillwater.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, get that?
Yeah, I know you like the sparkling.
No, I'm more of a still boy, actually, but I don't mind a sparkling.
If you're asking me, the waiter, I recommend the still water with a stick of mini Toblerone in it.
Do you still want the still?
Why are you asking me?
I thought we were...
Oh, would you like me to join you for this meal?
Well, where are you then?
Well, I'm like the maitre d'. I'm like overseeing the whole thing.
But so I'm on my own?
Well, you can bring whoever you like with.
No, Gyal, nothing.
You can be
just sitting on here like a wanker on my own.
Well, no, you can bring a Gyal if you want, Paul. I don't mind you bringing a Gyal if you want.
Yeah.
Any gender. I'm not just saying Gyal. I could be with any gender.
Yeah. Oh, who do you want to bring with you?
Well, I normally go out for dinner with Greg and Russell Howard.
Normally?
Yeah.
How often?
Whenever I go out for dinner, it's with Greg and Russell Howard.
When was the last time you went out for dinner with Greg and Russell Howard?
Why are you only on first name terms with Greg?
Because Greg's my...
Howard's always his partner.
And that, so you always go out for dinner with them?
Them too, yeah.
So what did they have at the Shisha Lounge?
No, we don't go Shisha Lounge. They go to very expensive restaurants.
Yeah.
And they order a lot of alcohol.
Right.
And then we split the bill three ways. Which can become problematic because I don't drink.
Yeah.
You know when they split it three ways?
Yeah. And all you've had is a bowl of corn.
And all you've had is corn. And then they've had 17 dishes. Greg eats.
You're right, though.
The man likes to eat. Yeah. And Russell likes to eat as well.
Yeah.
Russell Howard.
Yeah. Russell Howard. Yeah.
Greg.
You're chatting to a chicken in the corner?
Yeah, the chicken's running around.
Yeah. So would you like, for your dream meal in the dream restaurant, would you like Greg and Russell Howard to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, and the good thing is they've both been on this podcast.
Oh, so they've done this.
So we know what the menu would be.
Have you heard of these two guys, by the way?
Yeah. Greg and Russell Howard.
They're in the industry as well.
Yeah.
Russell had he's had a TV show and Greg's been on a couple of bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, so they're comedians. So I do, you know.
Greg did that show, The Cleaner, where you had the best cameo of all time.
Yeah, oh, thanks, man. Yeah. With Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
We're actually meaning to go out for dinner, us three.
Oh, really?
Well, who's you three?
Well, Helena Bonham Carter, me, and Tim Burton, her ex-husband.
Yeah.
I don't think you were in a scene with her, though, were you?
No, but she was around, you know.
Yeah.
We were hanging out.
Yeah, you were in a scene with Geeta from EastEnders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in EastEnders, Geeta, yeah. That was her character name, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Obviously, the actress's
name.
I can't remember her name. she was there as well, and...
She was there as well as her character from EastEnders.
Yeah, the character from EastEnders was with the woman who played the character from EastEnders.
Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't like to be reminded of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Greg was there.
Greg was there, which is important. And he's here at your meal now.
Yeah.
So, you, Greg and Russell Howard are there. I brought out your still waters because that's what I recommend.
Oh, thanks, man.
Poppadoms or bread? No. Poppadoms or bread, Paul Chowdhury? Poppadoms or bread?
I'm not sure whether you're asking me about poppadoms because I'm Indian.
Well... what I would say to our credit is we have asked the question poppadoms or bread on every other episode we've ever
done. I've heard every single episode of this.
Have you?
And you've only just said to my kid, you've just said, do you want bread?
Yeah, normally I just say bread. And now normally I go, do you want bread?
Yeah.
What's a bread?
And then you shouted poppadoms at me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which...
But we've had other guests who are from, you know, Indian families, Indian backgrounds.
Oh, really? Which ones?
We don't need to justify this to Paul.
No, but we're just saying that we definitely... Are you suggesting that we didn't shout poppadoms at them and we were waiting for you?
You're waiting for me to come onto this podcast.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, yeah. We knew that it would really get in your head.
It would. This has got to me now.
Yeah. So that's why
we didn't ask this to the chickens.
No. Well, we haven't had the chickens on the pod.
Oh.
That would be awful guests.
But poppadoms are basically a big crisp.
Yep.
A big crisp.
They're a massive crisp, aren't they?
Well,
they're one crisp.
That's a little bit, you know.
It's one crisp.
But a big one.
Yeah. It's a one big crisp.
How do you feel about having one big crisp?
I don't like really poppadoms. Especially when people like crack it in the middle.
Mm. Yeah.
And then their hands touch other parts of the poppadom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, which part did they touch? And then, so you've got to go first. And take as much of that poppadom as humanly possible before other people start sticking their shit fingers in it.
Here's the thing, though. You're having a meal with Greg Davis. I know that he chose poppadoms.
But Greg's hands is the same size as a poppadom.
So, but if he goes to crack it, he's touched every bit.
Then you might as well order a new...
You're ordering a new pile of poppadoms, yeah. So do you get a bit weird about that sort of thing? If someone's touched your food,
you wouldn't
eat it?
I wouldn't even look at it again.
No.
Never look at it. No. What would happen if you looked at
it? I'd just stay and full.
Yeah,
I'd say I'm stuffed.
Even if you sat down for a meal with Greg and Russell Howard, and you've literally sat down, you've had some still water. They bring over poppadoms. Greg cracks the poppadoms. You go, I'm full.
Yeah, yeah. If he touches the poppadom, I'll say I'm full, and then I'll wait till the next course comes out and make sure it's a dish that people don't have to touch.
But then you would say, I'm not full anymore.
I'm hungry again.
It's quite a weird excuse, Paul. Couldn't you just say you don't want any poppadoms?
No, because I do want the poppadoms.
Yeah.
I want the poppadoms.
Yeah. But you don't want Greg's shit fingers.
But some arsehole's touched it.
Yeah.
So when someone's touched your food, it's like, how can you eat food that someone else has touched?
Yeah.
How can you do that?
What about, like, the chef will touch it quite often to prepare it?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, but I think they're touching it with gloves on.
You reckon?
Not in all places, I don't think.
I don't think they would take out the poppadom from the deep fryer with their hands.
No, but I mean, just food in general, a chef might have touched it.
People don't do that.
No, okay.
No one touches it.
No,
they'd have to wear gloves.
Yeah.
They'd have to wear masks, hazmat suits.
Yeah.
And then the food will come out. So I want to know what that weight is doing with the food, you know.
Yeah, well, you could ask the chicken, I suppose.
Yeah.
Chicken can tell you. The liar's chicken.
Yeah.
So you prefer bread, is what you're saying?
Well, I don't really eat bread because bread puts on a lot of weight. Yeah. Well. Uh-huh. So I tend to go for
poppadoms.
Just the water.
So no poppadoms or bread?
No poppadoms.
So you're skipping the whole poppadoms, but you don't want prawn crackers?
Prawn crackers are basically poppadoms with prawn flavour on it.
Oh, yeah?
So basically, everyone's got a crisp if you look at every nationality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every nation has their own crisp.
Yeah.
Asians, Indians have poppadoms. Chinese have prawn cracker.
Yeah.
And you got salt and vinegar.
So every nation.
All
the nations.
There you go.
That's
Indian, China.
And yeah,
salt and vinegar.
It was Asians, Indians.
Yeah, sorry, Asians, Indians.
Yeah, that's covered.
China.
China.
UK.
UK, yeah.
Yeah.
Anywhere else? Got their...
The Mexicans have got those, what's it called again? Tortillas.
Tortilla?
Tortillas, yeah.
So that's a crisp that's been fried in half.
Yeah.
Fried in half, yeah.
Any other nations?
Americans have got potato chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just name me a nation, I can give you what they've got.
Kenya.
Poppadoms.
Yeah, they have.
You've absolutely got me there. Okay. Norway.
Norway. The Norwegians have got, they give you a deep fried ice.
Deep fried ice?
Deep fried ice they give you, I think.
It's just water, isn't it?
Yes, but that's their version of a poppadom.
They deep fry ice.
They deep fry ice, I think for a starter. It's a thing, isn't it, out there, I think, in Norway. You can Google it.
They put it in batter first? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why I never trust anything you say, Paul, because the way you delivered that, which is patently untrue, is exactly the same tone you deliver everything else, including details about your life.
Yeah, it's hard.
No, but my life, I would never lie about my life. So I would never make up stuff. But I know it's serious to you, and I know people wouldn't want to be hoodwinked and shit, so I would always tell the truth about my life.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
And what we went through in Montreal.
Yeah, which you remember now.
It's coming back to me, bits of it, but I tried to forget it.
Just a refresher, in Montreal, you ordered a tray of avocado on toast. Would you like that now as your bread course?
Yeah, with anchovies on it.
Oh, look, here we go.
So your bread course would be avocado on toast with anchovies on it.
Yeah, I did that once. I lived out in Italy for 6 months doing Devils, that Patrick Dempsey drama. Uh-huh. And I ordered some anchovies and they bought me a tin of anchovies and it was 30 quid.
Yeah, those tin fishes sometimes can go absolutely insanely expensive, the Spanish ones especially.
But they're 99p in Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? It's just a tin and it was opened. So like a tiny tin had been opened.
Yeah.
So for 30, so they charged me 30 quid to open the tin.
Yeah.
You know, with the little Coke thing on it.
Yeah. Was it nice anchovies?
They were just anchovies.
Yeah. But you're a fan of anchovies.
But now I really value a tin of anchovies because of it.
Because you paid so much for...
Well, then when I get a £1 tin of anchovies home, I'm like, this could be 30 quid in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Makes you appreciate it more now. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day. And even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get into your dream meal. Your dream starter, Paul.
Yep, here we go. I knew this would happen.
Instantly, look at him. He's staring off.
Not thought about it.
Staring off into nowhere.
My dream starter. Yeah.
Yep.
This is a tough one.
Yep.
There's a lot to choose from here.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I'm a real foodie, as you know, and I come from a background of cuisine.
Mm-hmm. What's your background of cuisine?
Well, my family had a snack bar in Southall.
They?
And I used to work in, I was a chef in there.
I didn't know this.
This is all true, yeah. You think I'm making up. I used to make sandwiches.
What was your signature sandwich?
Well, we used to make tuna specials.
Yep.
Which is now, it was called the upper crust, actually.
What?
Which has now been stolen because we didn't paint the name.
So you were the original upper crust?
We were the original upper crust. And it actually got stolen from us because we didn't paint the name. So we were going to sue them for starting the upper crust, and you see it in major stations now. But
yeah,
that's actually
that was your family snack bar name.
Yeah.
So you used to work in the upper crust, the OG upper crust.
Mm.
So what was your signature sandwich? The tuna special, you said.
Tuna, mayonnaise, onions, bit of chili.
Oh, nice!
If you want chili in it, but generally it was scar. I know white people don't like chilies and stuff. Uh-huh. I've got I used to cook all the time, and I've just finished a show for E4 as a cookery competition.
Yeah.
Celebrity Cooking School.
You're a contestant in that?
I'm a contestant in that with Kerry Katona.
You and Kerry Katona?
Yeah.
Against each other?
What? And who?
Versus each other? Or
yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people from Made in Chelsea, Made in Essex.
Made in Essex.
Happy Mondays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which one? Bez or Sean Ryder?
Sean Ryder.
Yeah.
And that cleaner.
Huh?
That woman who's the cleaner.
Mrs. Inch?
No, the other one. She did clean my house or something.
Kim Woodburn. Yeah.
She's in it.
Well, I've never been more excited about a TV show in my entire life. I bet you absolutely rinsed them, Paul, if you've got a culinary background.
I'm not sure they liked me. I'm not sure some of the contestants took to my level of competition.
I say this as someone who loves your company and loves being around you. I guarantee some of them didn't like you. But that's what makes a good TV.
It was very tense.
Yeah.
Do you cook at home, Paul?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big cook. I can show you some videos if you want.
No. What's your signature dish at home? What do you cook at home?
Well, I had to cook on the show as well.
Yes.
What would I cook if you came over? Some wholemeal pasta.
Yep. But you're saying that because you're looking at Ed and thinking, what would Ed eat?
That looked like what you were doing there.
Yeah.
You were sizing him up and going.
Just looking at his body.
And he'll probably like wholemeal pasta.
Yeah. And there's another time we ate, was Taskmaster.
Yes.
It was the second time we ate together.
Yeah, we ate together at Taskmaster because in the series of Taskmaster I did, series 9, Katie Wicks was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in Catherine Ryan to replace her in one episode and Kerry Godleman to replace her in another episode. And then they were worried that she'd be ill for the next day as well. So just in case, Paul came in. So it was just hanging around the studio.
Yeah, great.
Eating.
What a great.
And I'd come off both shows in a row. I came off. Paul was waiting for me at the top of the stairs and went, yeah, there's some funny stuff in there.
Did I say that to you?
Yeah. It's nice. You got some napkins there?
Oh, I just,
Coke's
wearing off now.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. We still haven't heard what your dream starter is, although I think as we go on through the podcast, we'll probably have to pick up on upper crust because I would like to hear about
that. Yeah, we'll pick up on that. But I do like a soft shell crab.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. Lovely. Now we're talking.
That's probably one of my favourite starters.
That's very nice.
Deep fried?
No.
Okay.
Shallow fry.
Shallow fry, but with the batter on it?
Yeah. Well, it has to be deep fried, I think. I'm not sure if it can be shallow fried.
You can probably shallow fry it.
I'm sure the right person, the right chef would be able to shallow fry that.
The prawn version, which is...
Like battered prawns?
Well, I think they're called crispy... I think they're crispy fried prawns.
Crispy fried prawns? Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that you could call them that. Maybe prawn tempura or something like that.
Yeah, but they're not called prawn tempura in a lot of restaurants.
Mm-hmm. What restaurants are you thinking of? Where do you like to get your crispy prawns?
Chinese. I'm not going to a fish and chip shop for them, mate.
Yeah.
Don't think they do soft shell crab.
So from a Chinese restaurant, a soft shell crab, fried soft shell crab.
Chinese restaurant might be like a king prawn, deep fried king prawns.
Deep fried king prawn, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you want both of those as your start?
Yeah.
Together?
I'd go
seafood medley.
Well, if money isn't an option and you guys are buying.
Yeah.
And you're drinking alcohol. And I know by the end of the meal, there's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You need to eat as much as you humanly can.
Right. Okay.
Remember, you're with Russell Howard and Greg. So
Howard and Greg, yeah.
So they're going to be drinking.
Yeah. Heavily.
Yeah, heavily.
I don't think Russell does drink heavily, though, does he?
Actually, no, he just needs a bit of red wine here and there. Yeah. He's not really a big drinker.
Is there like a sauce with this soft shell crab or like a dipping sauce or something?
Yeah, it comes with like a sauce.
So yeah, I know it comes. So it comes with a sauce, but what sort of sauce?
It comes with like a what do you call it? It's a dark, watery,
like
texture.
soy sauce type,
soy sauce, but it's not soy sauce as such.
Yeah, like a thinner sort of. Yeah, I know the one you mean, like the sort of tempura sauce that you would get. Really, yeah.
I think it's called tempura sauce.
Yeah,
but I do like a chili sauce on the side.
Okay. Yeah, so you want a chili sauce? Yeah.
There used to be a thing when we were younger. Chili wasn't a big thing. So your parents and your uncles and everyone would carry chili in their pockets and bottles of chili sauces.
Mm.
So wherever we went, we had chili with us.
Yeah. Whole chili, would they?
No, like a bottle of chili sauce, Tabasco or something. Because I know it wasn't a thing back in the 80s. Like chili wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
You'd go to school trips and stuff and my friends from your background would find even like salt and vinegar crisps, chili.
Too hot.
But it was just the vinegar.
Yeah.
I still do that on tour now.
Mm.
I take round a...
Do you?
I got a bottle of Nando sauce in the
car. Oh, really?
Yeah, because sometimes in, like, hotel breakfasts on tour, they won't have any chili, they won't have anything. If I'm having eggs, I need to put some chili on there.
In the morning?
Yeah.
You eat chili in the morning?
I need spice in the morning, baby. Get myself going on eggs. Scrambled eggs, you need hot sauce, I think.
Have a bit of a kick in the morning on the... Yeah, like, especially... Also, avocados on toast, nice with some chili in it.
Avocados on toast in a hotel?
You can get that sometimes.
I'm spending on the hotels, mate.
But we're just saying, just like I'm just more referring to just like starting the day with a bit of chili. That kind of stuff's great.
What, chili on eggs?
Yeah,
eggs. Yeah, brilliant, delicious.
What hotels are you staying in on tour?
Ibis's, Holiday Inns.
Oh, mate, come on.
$49.99 hotels.
You're selling out Wembley. What are you doing in there?
Yeah, but there's overheads, and there's a lot of outgoings. You know, so you've got to stay in. In fact, I drive myself to the Wembley.
Okay. Pretty sure you don't need to do that.
But I don't live too far. So.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Convenient.
And you let the other guy set up the show, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you're not setting up your own show.
Yeah.
You guys have done Wembley, yeah?
No.
No, neither of us has done Wembley.
How come?
I don't think I could sell it.
Yeah, I don't think I could sell enough tickets, Paul, to be honest.
You guys could You could probably do this podcast at Wembley.
Yes. We probably could do this podcast at Wembley, yeah.
We admit that.
Yeah.
But
since 2018, at least 10,000 people would have heard this podcast.
Yeah. You know that that's not how selling tickets works, right?
No. Very difficult to sell tickets.
Yeah. But I think we could do Wembley with this podcast, but it's what do you do in Wembley if you're doing a podcast?
Yeah, because you could do this as a live podcast. Uh-huh. And I know you have done it as a live podcast. So why don't you do it in Wembley? I'll be a guest on it.
Because you're doing it now.
Unless we did a redemption episode. Sometimes we do redemption episodes.
Well, don't put this out.
Because you want to save for Wembley.
Let's just save it.
Yeah.
Just talk to the producer. So don't put this out.
Next to you. Yeah, he's sitting next to you. You can talk to him now.
Yeah, but he's your producer. He's not going to listen to me.
You might listen to
him. I mean, I'm really enjoying this episode, Paul, but...
Let's not put this out.
I'm going to say it. I feel like there's too many big silences for Wembley.
Yeah.
No, but I'm playing the room.
Yeah, you would...
You're playing Wembley now in the conversation.
No, I'm playing this room.
But the big silences, I mean, you need the laugh to go to the back and then back to you. Right? You need to leave the big pauses at Wembley.
As you know.
Yeah, I did my Live In It at Wembley.
Yeah.
Live In It tour show there, and it's a nice room.
Main course.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. You're talking like this is a new concept to you, the main course.
This is a very difficult... There's so many to choose from here, you see.
Mm. Yeah.
With all the cuisines I've experimented with around the globe. Uh-huh. It depends what mood you're in as well. And if I'm having a cheat day.
Yeah. Right.
With Greg and Russell Howard, it depends what I would go for. And one of my favourite dishes when I was in Italy, and it was cooked in its natural habitat, and as it was supposed to be cooked, which you don't really find in London, was cacio e pepe. Which is cooked in a bat.
Huh?
Of cheese, which is actually cooked in a batter cheese, like a massive cheese ball. And they open it up and they cook it in the cheese bat.
Bat?
Yeah.
What do you mean by bat of cheese?
Like a batter cheese.
We've not heard this phrase before. I might be wrong, but I would say like a wheel of cheese or something.
Like a batter cheese, isn't it?
A bat of cheese?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you haven't heard that expression before?
No.
B-A-T?
Yeah.
No, a bat of cheese.
Yeah.
Which means what?
Which means like a big lump of cheese.
A bat.
Yeah. But you guys do English literature or language?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heard that phrase
GCSE,
before.
A bat of cheese. No. And I'm sure that's the phrase, but I've just never heard it. And you presented it. Because you said it's cooked in a bat. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
A bat, like a
bat of cheese.
Look, I'm just going to Google bat of
cheese. I don't want to Google it.
No.
I think we just leave it.
We'll let the producer know let's have a look if this is real.
Did you mean bag of cheese is what's come up?
I meant bag of cheese.
You meant bag of cheese.
Oh, no, bat of cheese. Let's keep it to just maybe just check that Google. Are you on bat of cheese? Have you got internet reception now?
Yes, he's got internet reception. And he's Googled bat of cheese and all that's come up is, did you mean bag of cheese?
Well, this was in Rome. He's on Google in the UK.
He's on UK. So if he was... Italian Google, it would say, yes, that's what we cook.
Can you put that pepe in?
See, bat of cheese.
Can you write bat of cheese in Italian?
Bat of cheese, Italy. Google that.
No, write it in Italian. Do the translation.
Well, go on Google Translate. Bat of cheese into Google Translate.
Do you mean like wheel of cheese? Like a whole cheese?
Not like Wheel of Fortune.
Pipistrello di Formaggio, is that what you just put? What's coming up? Let me have a look. What has come up when you put Pipistrello di Formaggio into Google? Is, from what I can make out, a little canapé, which is a rolled-up ball of cheese, which has been dyed black, and they've stuck olives for eyes and big tortilla chips in it for ears, so they look like bats. That's the main Google thing. If you Google that, bat of cheese in Italian, it comes up with a Halloween novelty snack that you would serve up to guests when they arrive, where they've made balls of cheese look like bats by putting tortilla chips in the ears.
That's the main course.
It says pipistrelli de Halloween.
So do you want pipistrelli de Halloween for your main course?
Well, I've said batter cheese.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to have.
Pipistrelli de Halloween.
Yeah.
That's your main course.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The cacio e pepe's gone now.
Well, and the cacio e pepe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you would like side. Pipistrelli de Halloween as well.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you like bats as an animal?
No.
No.
Quick as you've answered a question.
Not a big fan of bats.
Don't like them.
But But I do like a bat of cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like a bat of cheese.
Mm. Yeah, a pipistrelli.
A pipistrelli to Halloween. Yeah. A pipistrelli to
with some cacio pepe on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now talk about the cacio pepe. What do you like about that?
It was very cheesy. It's very peppery.
Yeah.
That's that's why they call it a pepe.
Yeah.
Because the pepe is the pepper.
Yeah.
But people didn't know that.
Really?
Who didn't know that?
A lot of people I've told about this dish.
Do you want to name and shame anyone who didn't know?
I didn't ask them their names, but they didn't know.
You didn't know their names, but you were telling them about... Just you were telling them about cacio pepe. Yeah. It's called that because it's got pepper in it, but you didn't know who they were, what their names were, but you were telling them this.
When I came back, I was like, you've got to try this cacio pepe. What's that? I'm like, it's pretty obvious what it is.
But you didn't know these people's names, so you were like, what, in the airport?
They think you catch the pepper from somewhere. Mm. Some people knew what it was.
Yeah.
They thought you got to catch the pepper and create this dish. But you can't catch pepper, you can catch bats.
You can't. You can't catch pepper. Why can't you catch pepper?
Well, it doesn't just fly around, does it? It's not just.
So if you just picked the pepper, like
you're
Peter
picking
Piper,
pepper, yeah.
Is that not catching? But you're not catching it.
No.
No.
What about if we put you in the crystal dome, the end of the crystal maze, and filled it up with peppercorns,
and we just fired them in, and they went up in the air?
Yeah, but that wouldn't be a natural way to catch your pepper.
Doesn't have to be natural. You're catching it still. You're catching the pepper.
And what present are we talking about? The original?
Oh, okay, yeah.
What crystal maze?
This is important.
What one do you want?
Are we talking about O'Brien or are we talking about Awade?
Ed Tudorpole.
Well, there's Ed Tudorpole in the middle as well.
That's not the right amount of history.
Yeah.
Who?
Ed Tudorpole. He presented it after Richard O'Brien.
Did he?
Yeah. The lead singer of Tenpole Tudor.
Yeah.
So I'll go with him. Yeah.
You want him? Okay.
Okay, the one you forgot about.
Yeah. I was a big fan of his.
You want Ed Tudorpole?
Yeah.
Okay. You're happy with Ed Tudorpole firing peppercorns into the crystal dome, but you've got to catch them all?
Yeah.
And then you would admit that you're catching pepe.
Well, you're not catching it because it's not just flying around, is it?
Well, it is in the crystal dome, yeah.
In this natural... You obviously know where pepper comes from, don't you?
Yeah.
It grows, yeah?
Yeah.
But it doesn't then take off.
No.
So it should be pica pepe.
So the dish would be called pica pepe?
Yeah, because the people that don't
understand. So you're having pipistrelli to Halloween and pica pepe.
Pica pepe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want pica pepe because you don't catch it.
Mm.
Yeah. Delicious.
We're enjoying this meal so far.
Yeah, it's good. What are Greg and Russell Howard thinking so far, do you think?
What do they think of that?
Well, they're drinking at the moment.
What are they thinking and drinking? What will they think when the Pipistrelli to Halloween comes out? What do you think they would think about that when you've ordered that?
I think Greg would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Russell Howard? Russell Howard, on the other hand, is a very serious man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to watch one of these meals unfold.
Yeah,
genuinely, I'd love to be a pipistrelli on the wall at one of these.
It'd be a very good TV if they're looking to do like a follow up of the trip, because you know Coogan and Bride are not doing it anymore. I would suggest making it a freehander and having it you, Greg and Russell Howard, because I'd watch that, especially if you went to Italy in one of them, like they did in the original.
Paul just got a look in his eyes there that he's decided that's genuinely a good idea. I'd like to apologise in advance to the manager that both Paul and I share for the amount of phone calls he's going to receive about that.
Yeah, and to the commissioners at Sky and to Michael Winterbottom. We come to your dream side dish. What side dish are you going for here? You've got the pipistrelli to Halloween and the cacio pepe. Sorry, the pica pepe. You've already had... the deep fried prawns.
It's a lovely
soft shell crab.
Yeah, really nice start. Yeah.
So the side dishes are interesting, aren't they? Because you've got
so much choice as well.
Yeah, you've got your spinach, which has got a lot of butter in it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Creamy spinach?
Cream spinach is a dish.
Cream spinach, parsnips, olives.
Olives. Olives
is a side dish, do we think?
A bit very serious and you're not nodding.
Is it a side dish?
Well, I don't know. I've never
seen
a side
dish. Would you have olives as a side dish?
It's going to be a pre-meal thing, around the bread course, I'd say, you might get some olives. But...
Oh, sometimes the bread. But you didn't offer me the olive oil with the bread.
Oh, you could have asked
for it. You could have asked for it, yeah.
Oh, I could ask for that.
Yeah. Do you want?
Yeah, I need some of the olive oil
with the bread.
But remember, your bread course is toast with avocado and anchovies on it. You want olive oil.
I'll sprinkle the top.
You put the olive oil on top of that?
On top of that.
Fine.
So what do you want as a side dish?
I'd probably go with, if it's a cheat day.
Yeah.
It's very controversial. I hope you don't take me off this.
What cheat days are controversial?
Well, what I'm about to say.
Right.
Chips.
Yeah, you've changed the game on this one,
Paul.
Has anyone said this before?
No, I don't think anyone said chips before.
The first person to choose chips on the podcast, yeah.
So is that's for specifically for a cheat day? So all week when you're working out, you're keeping it lean, you're getting ripped, you're thinking about chips.
Yeah. Because it's a good crisp, isn't it?
Okay.
Hang on, what?
It's a version of it's from the crisp family.
Sure, it's from the family. Yeah, yeah.
From
they're
the
related.
Crisp family.
Potatoes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What sort of chips do you want?
Deep fried. Deep fried chips. I like thin chips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the fat bars. No offense. No offense. I don't want to. Yeah, I do like a good
thin chip.
A good chip.
Like a French fry.
No, English. Good.
But like a McDonald's, you know, those kind of French fries.
Mm, yeah.
Are you thinking about that?
Yeah, when you go to like a good hotel restaurant, they're very thin, aren't they?
Can you remember the best chips that you've ever had?
I think the Dorchester do very good chips.
Yeah.
The restaurant at the Dorchester.
Yeah.
The Dorchester Hotel.
Yeah, in London. It's where Tom Cruise stays.
Yeah.
Oh, it's where Tom Cruise stays?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
It's common knowledge.
Yeah.
That he stays there when he films in London.
Have you ever stayed there?
No.
But would you go to the restaurant for the chips?
It's not really within my budget of hotel.
Again, right. It probably
the
is.
The Dorchester. It's not within my
I think it is a
realm
is.
Of possibility. It's a distant dream for me, someone like me.
Yeah.
I'm not within that pay bracket.
Uh-huh. You are. But like, so are you going with, but you've been to the restaurant there?
Yeah, I've been to the restaurant. I took my dad there for his birthday last year.
Oh, lovely.
Greg and Russell Howard invited to that?
No, they it was more of a family meal. Their extended family.
Did your dad have the chips?
He had a few chips, yeah, and some baked fish and stuff.
Nice. So.
When you eat chips around people, are they like, wow, this is very rare because it must be a cheat day or something?
Yeah,
like,
it must be a cheat day, yeah.
Paul's eating chips, we never get to see this.
Very rarely do I eat chips, and I'm doing it today because I've been waiting for how many years since you started this podcast? 28 years since you've started this, and I thought, you know, I'm going to treat myself.
Yeah, why not?
Lots of ketchup.
How often do you have a cheat day, Paul?
Well, you're supposed to have them once a week.
Right.
If you're training. Because you train a lot, don't you now?
I try to, but I don't really do I don't go in for the whole cheat day or my
diet. You don't do cheat days?
I like food too much, so I like the training because it makes me feel good, but aesthetically I'm not so focused on it that I'm not just going to eat what I want most of the time.
So you just eat anything?
No, I eat pretty much anything, yeah.
Yeah, but you're a happy man now. You've got a girlfriend, fiancé,
wife. He had a girlfriend.
You've got a wife now?
I've got a wife.
What about your girlfriend?
She's fine with it.
That's a good one there, isn't it?
Yeah. That's funny.
See, that always works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
People will laugh at that at home. They'll think, oh, he's got some comedy in this now. Because he said girlfriend white, and then he said, what would he girlfriend? Do you get it?
Yeah.
It's really
if you laughed at that joke, tweet Paul about it and let him know I laughed.
It's a great joke.
Yeah. Just tweet Paul and say, I laughed, and then put hashtag good joke.
A good joke.
Yeah.
That will always work, that joke.
Yeah, and also include the hashtag, it will always work.
Through the history of time and jokes.
Yeah.
It's such a simple format.
Yeah.
Because you take someone in one direction.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, his girlfriend became his wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was insinuating the girlfriend.
Is another person. Yeah.
Yeah. Or boyfriend, whatever.
Yeah. Or, you know.
It could be any gender.
It wouldn't work with that because you'd already said girlfriend. So
that scenario.
Yeah. But so it wouldn't work to go, yeah, you got a girlfriend now and that guy's got a wife. And then you say, well, is your boyfriend okay with that?
Yeah.
Would be logically as a joke.
It wouldn't work. Then people wouldn't laugh.
The structure doesn't make sense.
I can hear the laughter now as people listen to this.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't have worked.
No.
But if you said you've got a husband now, what would your boyfriend think of it?
Yeah.
That would work.
People would get a round of applause at home.
Yeah. At home.
At home, it gets a round of applause.
No, people at home listening.
Yeah.
Not at our house.
No.
Your boyfriend.
No.
I mean, to be fair, was with his partner.
Hey, who's this
before
partner?
Her? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Wife.
Oh.
Great.
That's good.
See, this was a club.
Yeah, I mean, the roof's off.
I'd have ripped it.
The roof's off by that point.
Wembley Stadium's in rubble at this point.
Yeah.
you can't say that.
Huh?
You can't say that about me.
No?
You can't, because of my look.
Yeah.
If you're not listening to this.
Yeah.
Go on.
I've got a beard.
Yeah.
I'm Asian, and you said I've left Wembley Stadium in rubble.
You did say that.
You can't say that.
I did say
you can say it to this
Ed.
Guy.
Yeah, Ed.
But if you said it to me, it comes across slightly differently.
Am I in trouble now, do you reckon?
Well, it depends on the listeners.
Yeah.
I know you've got a very liberal left-wing audience.
Yeah.
They could get offended with that. So.
So they were like applauding a minute ago at your joke. How do you think they reacted now to me saying that Wembley Stadium thing?
We've got to now try and pull this back.
Yeah.
Do you reckon we can pull it back with the drink?
Yeah, yeah. I think we try and pull it back with what your drink course is.
Oh, the drink course?
Yeah.
This is very controversial, what I'm about to say.
So no booze for you?
No.
No booze?
You don't like booze?
I haven't drunk in 23 years.
Wow.
What was the last alcoholic drink you had? Can you remember?
Great question. I had a hot toddy.
I don't know why that's so funny, Paul. It's really funny. Your last alcoholic drink.
Hot toddy. Well, that's been done. Why is that funny? It's really funny.
It's the idea of you finishing that and going, never again.
Never again after a hot toddy.
Never again.
It's such, like, not a... I don't know why. It's such a specific and, like rare thing. Hardly anyone is having a hot toddy ever. And you had a hot toddy.
I've hit rock bottom, man.
That's my last one. I'm done.
I had that 2 months ago.
A hot toddy?
Well, you said your last drink was 23 years ago.
Yeah, that was the last proper drink.
But 2 months ago you had a hot toddy.
No, but I wasn't feeling well a couple of months ago.
Okay.
Well, Ed's gone.
So, you said you'd not had a drink in 23 years, but you had a hot toddy 2 months ago.
Yeah, but for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, but it's still an alcoholic drink, Paul.
Yeah.
But it doesn't count because I wasn't... It's medicine, isn't it? It's like medicine contains alcohol if you have a day and a night nurse. And there's alcohol content. I'm not technically drinking. So before medicines were invented, people used to have hot toddies.
Yeah, but medicines are invented now.
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you have a hot toddy?
When I'm not feeling well.
And how often is that?
Every week.
They're on their feet at home.
They're shouting for more. Deliberately set him up for it as well.
Yeah.
How often's that?
Yeah.
He knows where this is going.
He's got it. He's a pro.
You had a hot toddy two weeks ago or 2 months ago or whatever. So, you know, you are kind of having alcohol every now and again when you feel ill.
Only
hot toddies. And are you buying whiskey specially for that? Do you have whiskey in the house now?
Yeah, about three, five bottles.
Yeah.
Big bottles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you make your hot toddies with them.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what's your dream drink going to be? Is it going to be a hot toddy, your dream drink?
Hot toddy.
So serious.
Hot toddy.
Hot toddy. Oh, gosh.
So with your dream meal, it's going to be a hot toddy, which would suggest that you're ill for your dream meal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have your dream meal, being ill would be the best situation to have it.
Why?
Because you could be dead soon.
Sorry. The best... Your dream is to be so ill that you could be dead soon.
So what are Greg and Russell Howard thinking at this point?
Well, they're worried.
Yeah! I'm worried about their friend.
You're having a hot toddy. You're
if they're worried, you guys are laughing about this, but yeah, they're thinking this guy could be dead soon.
Yeah. So you're at
Let's give him a good meal. Yeah.
Having a hot toddy. So that's your dream drink.
So I'm just taking my hoodie up.
Is there a particular sort of whiskey that you like with a hot toddy?
Whiskey is whiskey, I think.
I think a lot of people would disagree with that.
Yeah, a lot of people who like whiskey would be like, absolutely not.
I don't really have a preference apart from 1983 Jack Daniels.
Okay, there you go.
1983 Jack Daniels.
Oh, no, Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker. So you can have the 1983 Johnny Walker.
Hot toddy.
Hot toddy.
Oh, no, the other one. Jack Daniels, Johnny Walker, and Black Label.
Mm. That's Johnny Walker, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you want that?
Yeah, Johnny Walker, Red Label or Black Label.
One of those two.
I think Red Label's better.
Red Label.
Red Label.
Johnny Walker, Red Label, hot toddy for your drink. Because you're at death's door.
Because you're at death's door, you're dying.
Well, you know, it used to work as a medicinal purpose in the olden days.
Yeah.
But you've got to mix it with honey and lemon.
So that's what you do in your hot toddy. So your hot toddy is Johnny Walker Red Label with honey and lemon.
Mm.
Nothing else in there? Bit of ginger?
A bit of ginger, yeah, you can chuck that in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of a hot toddy?
Well, I was thinking if it's
for medicinal purposes, thing, it can't do any harm, can it, at that point?
A bit of ginger and whiskey is nice.
It really warms you up, doesn't it? You can feel it.
Mm. Yeah. It's a good drink choice. We've never had a hot toddy, have we?
No, this is our first hot toddy on the podcast.
First hot toddy on the poddy.
That's great, isn't it?
The hot poddy.
Yeah.
You turn this into a hot poddy. How's that feel?
And then the side of Ribena.
Oh, hello.
Side of Ribena? Mm. You like Ribena?
It's like Ribena. like coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a nice, because it refreshes the palate.
Yeah.
I actually don't drink with my food because you don't digest your food if you drink while you're eating. So you don't get the nutrients out of the food.
So when you're eating, you don't have a single drop of liquid?
I have a drink 15 minutes before eating and then 15 minutes after eating. And then I eat in the middle. Because when the water and the liquid is mixed up with the actual food,
uh-huh.
it doesn't go to the right departments.
What?
Mm.
It doesn't go to the right departments?
Mm. In your body.
What are all the departments?
Well, it gets confused because it's like the Poseidon Adventure in your stomach.
Because the food's all like sloshing around.
It's like the Titanic.
Yeah.
So if when you eat and drink at the same time,
yeah.
where does the food go?
Well, it doesn't know where to go because it's all mixed with liquid. So have you noticed that you don't become ripped when you mix water with your food or drinks?
I've not noticed that, no.
You haven't noticed that?
Well, I've not become ripped ever, but like...
Well, watch what you do now when you take this advice on board.
Yeah.
Next week you're going to be ripped.
So for this dream meal, you're having a hot toddy 15 minutes before you eat?
I'd probably have the hot toddy at the end and then the
Ribena at the beginning.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
You've got to...
The Ribena 15 minutes before. Mm. Water course.
Yeah.
And then if you extend it 15 minutes again,
I'd have to wait 15 minutes. Yeah.
And then you got your avocado on toast.
Yeah.
And then your whole menu. And then 15 minutes later, you have a hot toddy.
And actually, I'd probably wait for the dessert.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. After, like, yeah,
yeah, dessert.
Yeah.
We arrive at the dessert.
No idea which way this is going to go.
Russell Howard and Greg are absolutely off their face.
Are we talking dessert trolley or are we talking about?
It's your dream.
Well, it's your dream, so it's whatever you want for dessert.
Do you remember the dessert trolleys? You're probably too young to remember.
I remember the dessert trolley. Was that always an exciting moment when they wheeled the dessert trolley around? Was little Paul all excited?
Well, yeah, sometimes people used to be sitting on that dessert trolley and they used to wheel him out as well, or her. Do you remember?
People were sitting on it?
Yeah, people used to sit on it. That's the problem with dessert trolleys, is you don't know what's going on with the trolley before the dessert's been on it.
You don't trust
it. So not only do you worry about the background of a chicken before you eat it, you're worried that someone's been sat on the dessert trolley before they put the dessert.
Well, if you look to
the
side of the restaurant, you can see the dessert trolley just sat there with desserts on it.
Right.
So I want to know that dessert's been in the fridge.
Right, okay.
But with the, like, if you can't see the dessert trolley, in your mind, what's the worst thing that they could have done to the dessert trolley?
Oh, you can't. This is a family podcast, isn't it?
No. Well, no. I mean, what is in your mind? What is the worst thing that could have happened?
So you can say.
What's the worst thing that could have happened on that dessert trolley before they put the desserts on it?
There's a lot of things going through my mind right now.
Just say them out loud.
Well, you can say this.
Yeah.
Fucked it, innit?
So not had not, sex on it.
That's what I assumed. You were worried that someone had sex on it. What I wasn't expecting is that you were worried that they'd actually fucked the dessert trolley.
No, the dessert. Not the trolley.
Oh, like an American pie?
Yeah.
In American Pie, he fucks a pie. That's the whole reason it's called American Pie. He puts his dick in a warm apple pie and he fucks it.
I don't think we could say this.
By his dad.
Producer's looking at his computer, thinking, "Can we not put this in? Can we take this in another direction?"
No, this will be
this. Paul, this is going to be the trailer, mate.
Yeah, this will be in the podcast. Don't worry about it. But you worry that they fuck the desserts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or put their dick in it.
Or just put their dick in it.
Mm.
What's the difference? What's the difference between someone fucking the dessert and putting their dick in it?
Well, people put bodily fluids in food as well.
Uh-huh.
There was
I want to know, because you said you're worried that someone's fucked the dessert or put their dick in it.
Yeah.
But isn't that the same thing?
Not really.
Go on.
You've put your dick in a lot of things, haven't you?
Yeah,
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say a lot of things.
You've not fucked your pants every morning.
No, exactly. I don't fuck my pants.
You just put your dick in them.
You just put your dick in them.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. And I'll take that on board.
Yeah, you've had countless partners.
Right. Yeah.
You might have put your dick in them.
Yeah, but then I've fucked them, haven't I?
No, you've made love to them.
Right, okay.
Okay.
What if someone had made love to your dessert?
That's fine.
Because it was done lovingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine.
It's not aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is this dessert that someone's made love to, potentially?
Yeah.
Tiramisu.
We're in hot toddy situation here again. I've got no idea why that's absolutely the funniest thing you could have picked, Paul.
Really funny.
It's also the worst one for anyone to put their dick in. You're going to spot it straight away.
There's so much going on there.
Well, it could be a cover-up.
What?
You could cover it up again.
Yeah.
With the cream on the top.
Yeah.
Cream. Just coke.
A bit more cocoa. Yeah. Mm.
Brush the cream over, put some cocoa powder on it. Yeah. Know that you put your dick in it.
Bush, bush, bush.
It's got coffee in it as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of a buzz at the end.
Like
of
a coffee in a dessert.
Yeah. It's another Italian pick from you here.
Mm. There's a lot of Italian themes here.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you spent a long time in Italy filming that thing, didn't you?
I was institutionalised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're by yourself filming in Italy, right?
Yeah.
But were you friends with the rest of the cast? Were you all
just Patrick Dempsey.
Just Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, he was being sold. Just Patrick Dempsey, really.
Yeah.
You know, he used to be in Grey's Anatomy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was the doctor in it.
So would you...
80s films.
Would you maybe one day maybe take Patrick Dempsey to one of your meals with Greg and Russell Howard?
That would be a good meal, actually.
Can they get on?
See, I don't really cross-pollinate my international star friends with each other because you just don't know what could happen.
Yeah.
Nobody could imagine that scenario.
Yeah.
See, I'm friends with everyone, you see.
Yeah.
It's normal for you to be friends with me. But those guys, there's a lot of egos involved there.
Yeah, they're big stars.
And
yeah.
Do you behave differently around them, do you think?
I'm just a normal person.
But do you think... Well, do you think that you behave differently with Patrick Dempsey as you do with Greg and Russell Howard?
Exactly the same.
But like, okay, well, let's see. Imagine now that Patrick Dempsey's just arrived. Mm. Say hello to him.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, how you doing, mate? Hey, hope you're well.
And now Greg and Russell Howard have arrived. Say hello to them.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Russell. How you doing, mate?
Oh, yeah.
It's very different.
Just this, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your most famous friend?
In my phone.
Sure.
Do you have to have their telephone number? Is that
no? Who? But it's just who you would consider a friend.
Because I've got a lot of people's phone numbers who probably aren't my friends as colleagues or whatever. But like someone who you could hang out with and would maybe ring you up and say, "Hey, Paul, how's it going?" You know, like a friend.
Or someone if you ran into them, you'd have a chat with them for a bit, and you could maybe then go for a lunch with them or something.
Yeah.
I have any of them.
I'm gonna read your menu back to you now. See how you feel about it.
Have you written it down?
Yeah. Bring it down. So you would like 15 minutes before, you would like some Ribena. Then you want some still water, because I recommended it to you.
Mm.
15 minutes later, you would like a tray of avocados on toast with anchovies with some olive oil drizzled on it.
Mm.
Sprinkled.
Yep. Then you would like soft-shell crab and deep-fried crispy prawns with chili sauce.
Mm-mm-mm.
Main course, pica pepe and pipistrelli did Halloween. Side dish, chips from the Dorchester.
Mm.
Drink, we'll get to that later, actually. Your dessert, you would like a tiramisu, someone's made love to. And 15 minutes after that, you would like a hot toddy.
Mm.
What was the side again?
The side dish was chips from the Dorchester.
Oh, of course, yeah, sorry.
It's a cheat day.
Some ketchup,
yeah.
It's quite the menu, Paul.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. The main course is a bit of a left swerve, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cacio e pepe on its own, fine.
Delicious.
Yeah. You said it should be called pica pepe, so we've changed it for you.
You can't even get that in this country.
Yeah.
Cacio e pepe?
I've looked around everywhere.
I don't know. I bet if you Googled now where to get it in London, you'd find it somewhere probably like 10 minutes walk from here.
Yeah.
Not from here. I did find it once at Camden Market, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that done in the bat of cheese?
Yeah, it wasn't. Just didn't have that.
Yeah.
Authenticity about it.
I had it in Camden Market.
Did you?
Made in a bat of cheese, yeah. And it was pretty nice. There's a place in Shoreditch that does it in the bat of cheese proper, and that was delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
There's some really good Italian places.
In London?
Yeah. Padella, I reckon you'd get some good cacio e pepe.
You joking?
No.
Do you want to go?
Yeah. You'd struggle to find Pipistrella del Halloween, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Pipistrelli de Halloween, I think you've got to go to some special places for that. It's got to be Halloween, for example. And it's usually, by the looks of the photos, it's just someone's party at their house that they've done some.
Yes, have a look.
Paul's looking at the photo of the Pipistrelli de Halloween now to see what he's ordered for us. That's the first time Ed's seen it as well.
And look what they got in them, Mexican crisps.
Yeah, I thought the eyes were olives at first glance, but they don't seem to be olives. They seem to be little fried eggs from like a Haribo.
Yeah, and the ears on some of them are tortillas that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Doritos. They look edible, though, don't they?
Yeah.
No. Oh, no.
Not really. I mean, the faces are cheesy, but mixed with something that makes them, like...
Black.
Little black bat faces, but, like...
Well, Paul, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant. We've had a lovely time with you.
Oh, this has been... I'm stuffed. I can't move. This has been real.
Would you normally go back to Russell Howard's or Greg's now if you, the three of you have been out, or is it just straight home for all three of you?
No, they just get an Uber straight after the restaurant.
Yeah. Are they in the Uber together?
No, separate Ubers.
Separate Ubers.
Yeah, I think they meet up afterwards.
Yeah.
And then do you drive back?
I drive home, yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to drive places.
Any final words for any of your fans listening?
Yeah, I'm just, when are we going to start the actual podcast?
Well, we'll take a quick pause here and then we'll get going, okay?
Don't you do that at the end of a meal when the meal's finished?
Yeah.
And then you say to the person, let's order mains.
That's good.
That's a good one, isn't
good.
It?
It's good. Or good what's everyone else having when the waiter brings over the food for everyone?
Or when the waiter comes to pick it up, say, I'll have the same again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a good one as well.
Yeah.
That's a good one. So you keep it going with the waiter because you don't want them to fuck the food. You know, you keep it going. You keep that rapport.
And then they'll keep their dick out the tiramisu.
Yeah. You know, you don't, because I don't like it when people rude to the waiters and the staff, because then they're going to.
That's the unwritten contract, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You're never nice to them, and nice they don't fuck the dessert trolley.
They only make love to the dessert trolley.
They only, yeah.
Thank you very much, Paul.
What an honour and a privilege it was to come to this restaurant.
Well, there we are.
Woo!
I mean, I think it's the most you've laughed in an episode, potentially.
Yeah, might have been. Really lost it quite a few times there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. I can't even begin to list it. You just heard all of it anyway.
But also that shows you in the intro, we're going, here's what Paul's, he's really unpredictable, but here's what he's definitely going to do. He didn't do any of it.
No, I think the only thing he did that we predicted is made up his menu on the spot.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't thought of it before.
Also said something deliberately confusing and then stared at us.
Yeah.
Everything he said was that. Thank you very much, Paul, for coming into the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you, Paul. We loved
it. And of course, we loved it even more because you didn't say flax seed.
You didn't say the secret ingredients. I mean, I don't know how Paul would have responded if he had said it and we said, right, that's it, you don't get any dinner. I think that would have...
Well, it would have baffled him, I think.
Yeah, that would have spiraled out into a whole other thing.
So. Yes. You must listen to Paul's podcast, The Podcast, where he interviews a different comedian every week. It's always different, it's always unique, and it's all through the wonderful filter of Paul Chowdhury.
Yeah.
Paul's tour is called Family Friendly Comedian. You must go and see that.
Yes, absolutely. You're on tour, Ed.
I'm on tour doing my show Electric. Do go onto my website, edgamble.co.uk, for tickets and details. Check out where I might be on.
I mean, you know, what else can you say at the end of such an episode? I hope you all, you know, are tweeting Paul to let him know that you were laughing at home at that joke you made.
Yeah, please, and that you're applauding. That would be great. Thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. I'm very tired now, so we're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to have a little hot toddy.
We're going to have a little hot toddy. Apple steak.
Apple steak.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy... there's another podcast is coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's perfect brains. I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's perfect brains.